The last 100-meter race of his career did not go as planned for Usain Bolt. He came in third place at the World Championships in London, losing to two Americans, Justin Gatlin, who took the gold, and Chris Coleman, who took the silver. Bolt, still the world record holder, said this would be his last competition. For more context about the Bolt effect, earlier I spoke with Christopher Clary of the New York Times, who joined me via Skype from London. Chris, is it possible to overestimate the impact of Usain Bolt on track and field and sports?
You know, he has been, you know, the face and the soul of the sport, you know, for almost a decade now. And it's extraordinary. It really is. And he's really been the one global figure that they've had. And also, he's been pretty good news for the sport, which had a lot of bad news. So definitely a seminal figure.
It's a bit like Michael Phelps is to swimming or Tiger Woods is to golf. When you think of track and field, you have that, you know, million-watt smile and the guy doing the lightning bolt dance at the end of his races.
No, it's true. He and Phelps are a good comparison. I mean, they've just been, you know, the kings of their sports in the same period of time. They kind of broke through in Beijing and dominated that Olympics at the same time. Very similar. Dominant figures, huge appetite for success, and really enduring.
You know, even if track and field, and as track and field had these sort of repeated high-profile doping incidents, Usain Bolt was able to just kind of glide above it all, winning match or meet after meet.
In a way, that's been maybe his greatest accomplishment in some way, the greatest act he's pulled up, in the sense that he's been able to really remain above that fray. It's been quite a fray. A lot of scandals in track and field, a lot of credibility crises, and Bolt really has been able to stay above that. There have been things that have affected him. He's lost a medal in the relay because one of his teammates was involved in a doping infraction. There have been, you know, fellow Jamaicans who tested positive for banned substances as well, including Asafa Powell. But Usain has never tested positive, never been sanctioned, so that's a bit of good news for his sport.
Is there a reason that he chose to retire now? I mean, you can see that his times have been slowing, and but this is a guy who loves the competition, who loves to get in there and win. I mean, I don't think, at least in the interviews that I've read, I don't think he particularly likes to train and put the work in, but he does it because he loves to win.
I think that's it. I think that's, you put your finger on it. I mean, he's had injury problems throughout his career. He's kind of come into major championships for the last 5 years fighting injuries almost every time. So I think he's tired of that. And really, I mean, he did a great documentary last year, which was a lot of fun to watch, called I Am Bolt. And you can see him complaining about the training in almost every scene. I mean, I think he really enjoys the competition, enjoys that magnetic moment when he's out there and the crowd's communing with him when he's racing and beating everybody. But when it comes to the day-to-day drudgery of being a sprinter, I think he be happy to leave that behind. And I think also he's really done all there is to do in this sport.
And this is a guy, when you look at him, he doesn't look like a sprinter that's been the archetype that we've had, this, especially in the 100 meters, these short, super stocky, muscular guys that explode out of the blocks. He's literally at times a foot taller than his competition.
Yeah, it's true. When he lines up to race and they get in the set position, you can see he's already higher than everybody else, even with his head down. He's just a much taller person, about 6'5". You look back in the past at track and field, Carl Lewis obviously wasn't as tall as Usain, but he was the same sort of lines, you know, a tall sprinter by those standards of that day. And I think, you know, now what Bolt's really done is been able to combine the two of being a tall sprinter, but he also has a very quick turnover, able to explode off the track and really produce tremendous power in each of his strides. And also he has, you know, a long stride, so he's able to cover the whole race, 100 meters, in about 41 strides, whereas a lot of his competitors are 44, 45, 46. So that's all been a big factor, and many will try to replicate it in the years to come.
Do you ever wonder what that world record time could have been in Beijing or other places, where it almost seemed like in the last 10 meters he's looking up at the big screen and he's almost coasting in? I mean, there wasn't anybody just kind of breathing down his neck. And if he'd just given us that extra last 10%,
Yeah, you're right. I mean, that was the first big breakthrough globally at the Beijing Olympics, when he did let up in the 100 as he got to the finish line. But a year later in Berlin, when he set the world record that still exists, 9.58 seconds, he ran through the tape, and you saw what happened. World record that he's been unable to touch. Maybe nobody will touch for many, many years to come. And he himself was quite young at the time. He figured he'd be able to go on, maybe get into the 9.4s. Never did for a variety of reasons, but he did run through the tape, and that record is there to prove it.
All right, Christopher Clary of the New York Times, thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure.